Now, while I do appreciate Peter's profession that, you know, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, so we can't be drunk, I, for one, can say I have met people that are able to be drunk at 9 in the morning. But, of course, we know that's not the case with the disciples. It's not that they're drunk. It's not that they're crazy. It's not that they've lost their mind or anything. It's simply the fact that the Holy Spirit has settled on them. And that Holy Spirit that has settled on them led them out into the crowds, led them out into the world to speak on a holy day in Jerusalem for the Jews, speak a message of forgiveness, of love, and of grace, a message that the kingdom of God has come near through the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who lived, who was crucified, and is risen. Now, if you recall, and we get a little taste of this as we kind of like step back a little bit for the gospel reading, to back when they were still huddled in the upper room with the doors locked for fear of what the authorities, the religious authorities, might do. The disciples go from being people scared and cowering in a room to having the boldness to go out and speak in front and in the presence of those very leaders they feared. That transformation came by God's grace and strength and energy and empowerment through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is why we celebrate this day as a feast, as a high feast in our church. It's the day when we remember and celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that sent the disciples out, called people to them, and it says 3,000 people were added to their number that day. People heard the message of God's love in their own language, wherever they came from. They came for one thing and they received something very different. The message of hope that they had been waiting for all their lives. It's the same message of hope that is offered to all of us today and every day. It's the message of hope that we are invited into as God's children and as the people of God. And I'll talk more about the Trinity next week on Trinity Sunday, but Pentecost kind of ties together. and for anyone that's probably my age or younger, all I could keep thinking about was like the Holy Spirit's kind of like the rug from the Big Lebowski that ties the room together. So if you get that reference, thank you. The Holy Spirit kind of ties this whole story, this whole reality of the gospel and of God's love and coming to us. It ties it together. Because we have Jesus who we prepare for in Advent, and we celebrate his coming at Christmas, his incarnation, that the Word of God becomes incarnate as the person Jesus. He shows us and leads us to the Father. And in that teaching, in combining and letting the disciples know that because they've known him, they have known the Father, he then comes and he breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. As Christians, what we believe in is a Trinity, one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our access to that comes through the person of Jesus, out of God's love, and we are propelled into this world and into our lives through the Holy Spirit. It talks about the reality that it is what, in the epistle reading today, the idea that there are all these different gifts, there's all these different things that we have within us as God's children, whether it's to prophesy or to speak in tongues, whether it's knowledge or teaching, whether it's sharing the good news, whatever it is, whatever your gift is, it is a necessary part of the kingdom of God. You are infinitely valuable to this church and to God's kingdom on this earth. A kingdom that was built for you and for me to be in fellowship with our God. And the way we connect to that, what calls us into faith, is the Holy Spirit. The scriptures say even faith is a gift from God and the way in which that faith manifests. So wherever you are, whatever your level of faith, And if you're like so many people that I talk to and know that feel that they just don't have the faith they wish they had, if you don't feel like you have the faith you wish you had, please know that you have the faith that you need, the faith that God has given you through His Spirit. And whatever that faith is, wherever it is, however it manifests itself, it has brought you here into this fellowship. And maybe you don't even know why you're here, but it's brought you here. And it's an honor and a privilege to worship with you and to be a part of this community with you. See, I feel the only reason I can stand in this pulpit, the only reason I can preach, stand at this table, it is all because of God's grace and calling in me through the Holy Spirit. This is my gift. I hope. You tell me. All right, I'm good? Okay. No, please, please. And I was talking, I have this internal struggle constantly as I think about all the things that have kind of been, I have taken on myself that I'm supposed to be doing here in church, right? I'm supposed to be creating this program and that thing. You know, a good Episcopal church looks this way, you know, and we have children running around and we celebrate and love them and we have an unusual kind of church space for an Episcopal church, and we don't have the same kind of programs and midweek services or Sunday school and things like that, and I stress out about that stuff. Very much in the same way that many of us probably stress out about where we are and fit into the kingdom of God. And I, like so many others, need to step back and trust that God has me where God wants me. This is where I need to be. And that what we're doing is what we need to be doing. And that God will lay on my heart and our hearts anything that needs to be different. Now, don't get me wrong. There is plenty of imperfection in our community. We are not the ideal community. We make mistakes. We maybe don't pay as much attention or give as much care to one another as we should. Maybe we hurt each other and act out or whatever it is. We're not perfect. We're far from it. But we are the embodiment of God's love in this world. And I have no doubts about that. Many, if not most of you who are in this church are here because you visited for one reason or another, whether you were invited or whether you were just looking for a church and happened in, and you found love and care and grace here in some way. You found a home, a spiritual home. And maybe you're visiting and are looking for that. And please know, even if this is the only Sunday that you're with us, that we at St. David's are changed, are different, are better because you have worshiped with us this morning. Our church is edified and strengthened by your voices, by your singing, by your response, and by your joining with us in the communion of God at this table. So please know that you're invited and encouraged to be a part of everything that we do here, but know that we will never ask you to do anything that you are not ready to do. We might challenge you to push you a little bit, but it's always an invitation, just as the kingdom of God is always an invitation laid out before us, calling us in, telling you and me that we are loved unconditionally. Hear that again, unconditionally. That's a phrase I think we throw around a lot in our lives and in our world. I hear people talk about unconditional love a lot. I wish I was capable of unconditional love, but I fall so very short. My trust and my strength comes from knowing that I worship and trust in a God whose love is truly unconditional and loves you no matter what. So often in this church, so often in the Christian church, there's this idea that okay, well, now you're a Christian, you've been baptized, you started coming to this church, now you're here, and by God's grace, you're going to be here like the rest of us. You don't have to be any certain way. Being a part and a member of St. David's does not mean we expect you to look or believe or act a certain way. I don't stand here for behavior modification. I stand here to offer you a message of hope and of grace and of love, because too often in this world, what we hear is a message of insecurity, of being unworthy, lacking in value, lacking in power. So often I hear a message that I need to do better and be better. I need to be stronger. I need to be more whatever. Man, the world is filled, at least in my experience, of you need to be more or you need to be less blank. That is not what we are about. That is not what the church is about. That is not why Christ came into this world. It is not why he gave his life and was raised from the dead. It is not why the Holy Spirit is among us today. All of that is a part of our history. It's a part of our story. It's a part of our faith. So that you and I would know that you are loved, that you are forgiven, and that you are children of God right now. You will never be more so or less so, because God has done everything for you and welcomed you into that kingdom. When God looks at you, by God's grace in Christ, he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So whatever part you have in this body of Christ, as Paul says in Corinthians, whatever your role, and you might not even know exactly what it is. In fact, I'm sure we all don't fully understand what it is. I am certainly still becoming into that call, into that place. I'm still learning how I am connected to the other parts of the body of Christ. But I know that I'm a part of it. And every day I have the opportunity to understand more and more who God has created me to be and who I am called to be in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ. And the same is offered to all of us. We have the opportunity to go into this world, to go into our lives, wherever we are, and to ask the question, where is God and the Holy Spirit moving here? Where is God moving in our households? Where is God moving where we work and where we play? Where is God moving in our church? And as we listen to God, as we hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, that calls our hearts forward, we are renewed, we are transformed. We get to know a little bit more about who we are deep down inside as God peels back those layers and reminds you that you are of infinite value. You are worthy of God's love. You are lovable and you are loved by our Creator. And there is nothing that you can do to break that, to stop it, to cause God to walk away. He's in it for the long haul. Wherever you are today, whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you're anxious about, whatever's going on, know that you're welcome here. Know that this is a place for you if you want it. I invite you to come and be nourished both by word and by sacrament. Come and receive the body and the blood, the bread and the wine. Come and be transformed and renewed. And if you're skeptical, if you just kind of can't get away from the fact that this all just feels like a crazy fairy tale invented to control the people, I encourage you to ask God where God is moving, that God would reveal himself to you. Because I stand before you only because God has done that for me, and I can't look away. As much as I might want to try, as much as I might want to run the other way, I have experienced the holy, I have been touched by God's love and grace, and that's it for me. As crazy as it sounds, that's it for me. So welcome. Receive the Holy Spirit. Know that this is a place for you, and you need not do anything except receive it to enter in. Be transformed and go into this world sharing the good news of God's love in Christ as the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, empowers and strengthens you to do. Happy Pentecost.